Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
All right. To embrace Hebrew roots, chapter 6 by Victoria Dillon. Again, you can actually read this online, word for word, at www.blessedquietness.com. It's www. B as in boy, L as in Larry, E as in Emmanuel, S as in Steve, S as in Samuel, E as in Emmanuel, D as in Daniel, quietness, Q-U-I-E-T, NESS.com.
Yeah.
And starting off here, I'm not going to read every single word here in chapter 6, Victoria Dillon's writing here tonight, but I am going to read here a portion of it. She talks here about Kabbalah initiation and then mentions Deuteronomy 7:26. For God says, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. Thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it. For it is a cursed thing, Deuteronomy 7, verse 26. Among other things, she talks about how Kabbalism is a cult among Hollywood stars. Now, Hebrew roots people need to understand that they are related to the most satanic aspects of modern society. I'm going to go down here, though, tonight. I'm going to read this one particular part where Tori addresses Kabbalism and the feminine, masculine God. And Tori declares here, her writing, Kabbalists teach that God is masculine and feminine, and that when speaking of man, they are always referring to two faces. Adam Kadmon is a drag, is androgynous, according to the Kabbalah interpretation of Genesis. Male and female created he them, as cited in Blavatsky's Theosophical Glossary, or in the Secret Doctrine. And then she quotes from this work, The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 467. Adam, as the supposed great progenitor of the human race, is, as Adam Kadmon, made in the image of God, a priapic image. Therefore, the Hebrew words Zakar and Nahiba are literally translated linga, phallus, and ioni. Notwithstanding their transliteration in the Bible as male and female. As said there, God creates man in his own image.
God help.
God created he him, male and female created he them. The androgyny, Adam Kadmon. Now this Kabbalistic name is not that of a living man, or even of a human or divine being, but of the two sexes or organs of procreation, called in Hebrew, Zakar and Nakiba. These two being, therefore, the image under which the Lord God appeared usually to his chosen people. But this is so, you know, undeniably proven by almost all the symbologists, the Hebrew scholars, as well as by the Kabbalah. Therefore, Adam is in one sense Jehovah. Again, this is a quote from the Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 467. Torah goes on, in his book, The Rod of an Almond Tree and God's Master Plan, Peter Nicott states that Adam, as he was first created, was whole or complete, which meant he contained male and female. Adam was created, this is a quote now from this, Peter Mikhus. Adam was created as a whole being, complete in form, maintain a balance of male and female and a balance of logic and emotion. He then mentions two atoms. Then God separated from Adam another atom as a helpmate. Genesis 2, verses 2 through 22, Genesis 5, 2. This is reminiscent of the concept of the acidic atom in the physical realm. The spiritual counterpart, Adam Kidmon, inhabited the celestial realm. See quote number 21. As above, so below is an esoteric philosophy which implies a correspondence between the forces of nature and the movement of the stars in the celestial realm. The ancient mystery religions viewed the cosmos as being bound together in perfect duality with the earth. It may be that Peter learned the concept of occult correspondence through the ascetic Kabbalah Lubavitch, where he studied the Hebrew roots of Christianity as stated in the preface of his book. Then Victoria quotes from the preface of his book, where he declares, I ended up going into a place called Kabbalah House, which was run by the Lubavitch, the ultra-Orthodox rabbis. This was the beginning of my education in the Hebraic roots of the Bible. My knowledge of the Hebraic concept of Scripture grew. My God was being revealed to me in ways that cannot even be explained. I realized that if God had not preserved the Jewish people in their books, including the Bible, most spiritual truth and surely all the culture of Scripture would have been lost to traditions of men, quote-unquote. Returning to Peter's account of creation, the reason for the fall is explained as a lack of male-female unity. Adam named her Eve, and they were designed to work together as one complete being. Because Adam and Eve failed to act as a unit, they became vulnerable and succumbed to darkness and disobedience to God, quote-unquote. Every student of Scripture knows that in the Genesis account, God did not fault Adam and Eve failing to act as a unit, but precisely for their unity and rebellion against him. However, Jacob Bellamy, his contribution to theosophy, is universally recognized, repopularized the theory that the androgynous primal Adam experienced an internal rebellion, the feminine against the masculine. Again, Victoria quotes from one of these sources. The Judeo-Christian myth and theology of the androgyny of the primal man was successfully reinterpreted and revitalized by Jacob Bohme, 1575 to 1624. This great mystic and theosophist, Adam's sleep represents the first fall. Adam separated himself from the divine rule and imagined himself immersed in nature, by which act he lowered himself and became earthly. The appearance of the sexes is a direct consequence of this first fall. Another fundamental idea of Bohme, Kittel, and other theosophists is that Sophia, the divine virgin, was originally part of the primal man. When he attempted to dominate her, the virgin separated herself from him. All of history is viewed by the esoteric schools as the return of mankind to the condition of Adam Kidmon, perfect androgynous state. As the archetype of Adam Kidmon, so is the concept of male and female being one soul. It is taught that each soul and spirit start with a united male-female, which splits, and when a couple unites in marriage, it is the reuniting of that male-female soul. I'm just going to stop here for a moment and just interject something here. Again, all of history is viewed by the esoteric schools as the return of mankind to the condition of Adam Kidmon, perfect androgynous state. Now, in case you're not aware how some of this stuff has infiltrated the churches today, even affecting individuals who would make no identification whatsoever with the Hebrew Roots movement. I've heard this whole matter of God having a male-female side, a masculine-feminine side. I've heard that preached already in one King James Bible church where they happen to be very big followers of the Sword of the Lord and that Jack Hiles gang out in Indianapolis, Indiana. That Jack Howes guy there, Sword of the Lord, who has since died, and I believe no doubt gone to hell, he actually was a very big promoter of the whole concept of God having a masculine and feminine side. And also, the guy that I used to sit under at one time for Bible study, he preached this Dominion-type theology that basically talked about getting back to the way things were. You're getting back to Eden, he would say a lot of times. Getting back to Eden. And I see some of that. I see the spirit of that teaching here in this whole Adam Kinmon mindset that the Kabbalah, Moses, and Hebrew roots promotes. Because again, all of history is viewed by the esoteric schools as the return of mankind to the condition of Adam Kinmon. Perfect androgynous state. Back to Eden. Back to Eden. Back to Eden. In fact, Miles Monroe, this one charismatic wolf in sheep's clothing that died not long ago, him and his wife both, and I'm sure Miles went to hell, and his wife Bob, I'm sure probably went with him. He also was very big on preaching this dominion-type theology that talked about getting back to Eden. And again, it's the same thing right here that they're talking about here with the Hebrew roots connection with the Kabbalah. But I'm just going to read this paragraph one more time and we'll continue here. All of history is viewed by the esoteric schools as the return of mankind, the condition of Adam Kinmon, the perfect androgynous state. As the archetype of Adam Kinmon, so is the concept of male and female being one soul. It is taught that each soul and spirit start as a united male and female, which splits and when a couple unites in marriage, it is the reuniting of that male female soul. From the Hebrew Zohar, we see the Kabbalah concept of androgyny. Each soul and spirit, prior to entering into this world, consists of a male and female united into one being. When it descends on this earth, the two parts separate and animate two different bodies. Time of marriage, the Holy One, blessed be He, who knows all souls and spirits, unites them again as they were before, and they again constitute one body and one soul, forming as it were the right and the left of one individual, quote-unquote. Gershom Scholem stated in Zohar, the Book of Splendor, basic readings from the Kabbalah, that the hues of man be male and female, all, so that his faith may remain stable and in order that the presence they never leave him, quote-unquote. The Kabbalah Unveiled explains the androgyny teaching by referring to the unification of the masculine, feminine side of God. Quote, and when they are conjoined together, they appear to be only one body. Hence, we learn that the masculine, taken alone, appears to be only half the body, so that all the mercies are half. And thus also is it with the feminine. But when they are joined together, two together appear to form only one whole body, and it is so. So, also here, when the male is joined with the female, they both constitute one complete body, and all the universe is in a state of happiness, because all things receive blessings from their perfect body, and this is an arcanum, quote-unquote. McGregor Mathers, Introduction to Kabbalah Unveiled, states, now we find that before the deity can form himself thus, as male and female, that the rules of the universe could not subsist. Mathers explains that the Sephiroth contain the development and attributes of God, with some being male while other a female. The Holy Spirit is referred to as Ruach, or the Spirit meaning feminine or mother. Kabbalists believe that it is the union of the Father, masculine and mother, feminine union of God, that begot the Son. Now, I know from being around professing believers over in Israel and even some of these messianics that I was around before I broke from them, I mean, very common for them to speak of the Holy Spirit as Ruach HaKodesh. And again, we see here that the Holy Spirit is referred to as Ruach, or the Spirit, me, feminine, mother. So Ruach carries with it connotation of being feminine or mother.
Yeah.
So, you wouldn't want to refer to the Holy Spirit as Ruach in Hebrew. Quote unquote, among these set for up, jointly and severally, we find the development of the persons and attributes of God. Of these, some are male and some are female. Now, for some reason or other, best known to themselves, translators of the Bible have carefully crowded out of existence and smothered up every reference to the fact that the deity is both masculine and feminine. They have translated a feminine plural by a masculine singular in the case of the word Elohim. They have, however, left an inadvertent admission of their knowledge that it was plural in Genesis 1:26. They got like 4:26. And Elohim said, let us make man. Again, verse 27. How can Adam be made in the image of the Elohim, male and female, unless the Elohim were male and female also? Word Elohim is a plural form from the feminine singular al, Elo, by adding im, I am, to the word. But inasmuch as im, I am, is usually the termination of the masculine plural, as here added to a feminine noun, it gives the word Elohim a sense of a female potency united to a masculine idea and thereby capable of producing an offspring. Now we hear much of the father and son, but we hear nothing of the mother in the ordinary religions of the day. But in the Kabbalah, we find that the Ancient of Days conforms himself simultaneously into the father and the mother, and thus begets the son.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. The cursed. Be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians. Oh, but here it is. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.